Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the most pressing reasons why a municipal-based strategy, excuse me, why a municipal-based strategy is so essential right now. The last 40 years in the state of New York have been operated under the context of the failed war on drugs, and most explicitly, the Rockefeller drug laws. Now, while those laws were reformed back in 2009, the paradigm of those laws remains, unfortunately. And by paradigm, I simply mean a way of thinking and a context for approaching the kinds of problems that emerge. And so when you consider that the number one arrest in the city of New York is for marijuana possession, and that there's hundreds of thousands of people who have been arrested for marijuana possession in the city of New York in the last 20 years, hundreds of thousands of people, the vast majority of them are young Black and Latino men. This is despite the fact that evidence is very clear that young white men are far more likely to be using marijuana than are young men of color. But that evidence, you wouldn't have any idea that that was the case by looking at who it is that is arrested. And even though many of these cases end up being dismissed, that doesn't change the fact that these young men are saddled with a lifelong arrest record that follows them around for the rest of their life, especially in the information age. That's just a small sliver of what's happening with this broad context of criminalization. And we have chosen in the war on drugs over the last 40 years to use the criminal justice system to respond to these questions of drugs and drug policy. And as a result, we've got hundreds of thousands of people who have been arrested or incarcerated for drug offenses or drug-related offenses. And we've, as Michelle Alexander has noted in her book, once you're marked with the mark of criminalization, once you've been tagged that way as a human being, you are now a second-class person in our society. It becomes much harder to get a job, to get a loan, to go to school. I mean, we're doing court observation right now where we're seeing people who are arrested for marijuana possessions. They're being strip-searched, and they're having their licenses revoked for 6 months. The impact of criminalization in the last 40 years is so profound that I dare say that we don't fully understand how severe the impacts are, and we won't understand it for some time. But we're dealing right now with the problem of this mass criminalization, and we've got to stop for a moment and reflect on what it is that we're doing so that we can change our approach and account for the harm that has been done. Because I can't tell you how many people we talk to on a daily basis when we're doing our interviews in the courts, in the Bronx, in Manhattan, in Brooklyn, when we're traveling and visiting with folks in Rochester or in Buffalo, you know, when we're attending meetings in Syracuse or in Albany, or we're going out to different events out in Long Island, like in Hempstead or Mineola. We're constantly talking with people who have been arrested or gone to jail, or they lost a loved one, you know, from overdose because people didn't call for help. Why didn't people call for help? Well, because they were afraid that if they called for help, that instead of an ambulance coming, that a police car would come. And that is a very real fear. And so people are dying needlessly. People are being criminalized in ways that are both racially disproportionate and unnecessary based on even current law. I mean, we don't even have to get into what laws need to be reformed. If the police simply followed existing laws, we would dramatically reduce the number of people who are arrested for some of these things. But the police aren't following the laws in many of these instances. They're breaking the law, and nobody's holding them accountable. So we've got a very serious problem on our hands, and our hope is that with some of the recent changes here in New York City with the new administration, that that'll be a starting point to advance some smart reforms and to stop some of these egregious practices and to bring some degree of accountability to the police force as a starting point. But in the longer term, we've got a lot of work to do to both change policies and practices so that we reduce criminalization and reduce the role of the criminal justice system in our drug policies overall, but also to account for legacies of racism, the legacies of unequal treatment under the law, and the legacies of these policies that have been too long in place that have decimated entire communities here. We can't just change the law and walk away and assume that everything's okay. We've got to really account for the harm that's been done and do our best to rectify it so that we can be responsible both as a community and as a society.